Now, this is the first year that I can remember in a while that I have read a traditional scripture for a holiday service. I typically stay fairly non-traditional, not by choice. Chapter 1. Chapter 2, not chapter 1. I knew that didn't look right. And Zerubbabel begat Abihud. I'm thinking, what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, it does. Not my message. Verse 13. No, verse 1. I don't know what I did this morning. This is not my text either. This has to be my text. Just bear with me. Can you hand me my iPad? Oh, I got it. No, I got it. You can take it back. It is chapter 1. So you can keep scribbling out. Verse 18. Wow. I have chapter 1, verse 13 through 25. I have no clue what I did. I think I was looking at chapter 2. No, because there's not even 25 verses there. You know what? I probably should have taken more communion. Chapter 1, verse 18. Now, I did get the vine. That is 2 through verse 25. Maybe we should have had wine this year, Brother Jerry. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing, I just want to point out, if they were not one, then the Holy Ghost would be the father of Jesus and not God. Just, you can process that for a while. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. If the Lord will help me this morning, I want to preach to you on the topic, the birth to the blood, the original Christmas. Go ahead.
Lord, we pray, God, that you would use Pastor this morning, God, and anoint him as he preaches this word. We pray that we've come in here, Jesus, just with the spirit of expectation. Lord, to take this word into our life and impart it into our everyday. Lord, I pray, God, that we just keep our focus on you and on your word today. And we get something out of it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. And Lord bless you. You can be seated. If I were to summarize Christmas to you in just a few words, I would put it this way. One sacrifices and one receives. It's good to be the recipient, but we should never forget as a recipient that somebody paid that price. Somebody worked hard. Somebody went out and took their time to brave the madness. And I guess I would say this year to brave the virus too, I don't know. Or they took time to go online and to search and to research And then they made sure their credit card was attached to it. And they clicked send with a wince. That one's going to hurt later. And there may be some that even worked overtime. Maybe even got a second job during the holiday season to make sure that they could provide gifts to their children. Although it's not wrong, it's important that we understand that there is a sacrifice that was paid in order to put those gifts under the tree. Now, I don't know who we have in our midst this morning. I don't see any really little ones, but Santa sacrificed too. Some of y'all are offended now. Oh God, he's talking about Santa from the pulpit. St. Nicholas is real as they come. You can go ahead and do your history. So, what a blessing it is to us to receive a gift on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve. And it's also an equal blessing to those that are paying the price. You get the joy of sitting back and grabbing your camera and watching them unwrap their gifts with anticipation. Maybe you pull a little shenanigan here or there. Have any of you ever done you put a half-eaten sandwich in and have them open it up? Anybody, anything close to that? Nobody's as cruel as me. You don't know what you're missing. But it is a sacrifice nonetheless. It's a sacrifice of time. It's a sacrifice of finances. And it's this once a year sacrifice that is an example as a parent to the future of our own seed. What do I mean? Well, financial sacrifice, buying necessities, buying wants, putting money away to get them into college. Colin will be driving soon. And we have been, since before he was born or right after, I don't know, trying to put a little bit of money away, a little bit, so he can go get a car. Now to him, he'll look forward to that day where he gets to take that next big step in his life. But he should understand that it's because two people sacrificed. And two people did without in some areas to put a little bit away just to buy a little something for him to drive. It's a sacrifice. And then that sacrifice goes on. You try to get your kids into college. It's a sacrifice of time, work, discipline. It's some of those sacrifices that emotionally stabilize our children until they are prepared to make their own choices in life. It's not just a sacrifice of money, but it's also a sacrifice of other things, like when your wife wants to bite her husband's head off, but she wants to be a good example to her children. So she refrains and smiles and looks at him the look that says, "You wait till I get you in the bedroom later, you're dead." Now, my wife doesn't do that. I'm just telling you people I've counseled over the years. Why is that? Because we want to create a stable emotional environment for our children. Especially in an era where I just read a statistic that child suicide from the age of 10 to 17 is now one of the leading causes of death in that demographic, in that category. So you sacrifice. You learn as a couple to get along, to be respectful towards each other, because you're trying to build that stable foundation. And it's not always easy. For you dating couples, and some of you all, you start really, really early with all the challenges. But typically, the dating stage is supposed to be the enjoyable time. And then you spend the rest of your life learning after you get married. But it's a big learning. It's a big job. It's learning how to shut your mouth when you want to speak. It's learning how to not act as if you're the only person in the home. It's learning how to be selfless, and it's learning how to be considerate towards each other in the little ways, like shutting the toilet seat or putting the cap on the toothpaste and not leaving it all crusted up around the edge. You know what I'm saying? And by all means, the number one thing is to make sure the toilet paper is hanging on the outside of the roll and not the inside. I can't tell you how many times I've had to pray through. I think my wife does it purposely. I really do. All of those little things, as funny as they are, it creates an environment of learning and stability and selflessness. It's a sacrifice to get your children from point A to point B. It's what parenting really is actually all about. It's really not about buying gifts on birthdays and Christmases. It's learning how to, it's how to provide, but yet have a balance and stability and understanding that the gift does not compensate for a lack of a parent in the home. It doesn't compensate for a lack of peace in the home. It doesn't compensate for a lack of us being in the home, but not being in the home. It doesn't compensate for any of that. So parenting is a sacrifice. And then there's the spiritual sacrifice of getting up early and getting your herd ready. Some of you have a bigger herd than others. So it's more of a challenge, we understand. And I'm being serious. It's a sacrifice to get up early, to get all your children dressed, to get them ready. Why? Because you want to get them into the house of God. Why? Because you want to prepare them for their future. And you want to teach them the ways of the Lord that will solidify them as a child of God as they embark on their own journey in life. And although many times that sacrifice seems absolutely futile, like it's to no avail whatsoever, it is. It absolutely, that's what parenting is all about. It is really about sacrifice. But the children never really see that sacrifice. They don't fully understand it or grasp the sacrifice. Now let me talk to you about this scripture that we read that seems to be the pinnacle of a Christian message, which in itself is not incorrect. But I'd like to talk to you about this thought before there was a birth. Before there was a birth, there was a manger. And before there was a manger, there was a couple. And before there was a couple, there was a move of the Holy Ghost. We just read it. And before there was a move of the Holy Ghost, there was a promise. And before there was a promise, there was a star that was put in the heavens in the very beginning. It was long before Jesus was born, that star was in the sky. And before there was a star, there was a God. And for that birth to be possible, we read, His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. There was a God that was willing to bring himself down to earth in humility in the flesh of Jesus Christ. He was willing in some respect to remove himself, not entirely because God is omnipresent, from a throne of glory and walk amongst his own as we read in the book of John. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. All of that transpired before there was ever a birth. Before there was ever a baby Jesus, there was a plan that had been put in place. And there was a sacrifice to get that plan in place. What do you mean? Well, let's go back from the beginning. Well, when God made the heavens, he had to look into the future, and he saw He saw the birth of Christ, and so he had to put that particular star in the sky during his building process to make sure that that star was there and ready the moment that star was called upon in order to lead those wise men to the manger. And before there was that star, God had made a promise to his creation. And then there comes the Holy Ghost that begins to move and overshadow this young virgin girl by the name of Mary. And she becomes with child. But God had to create a plan. He had to make sure there was an angel ready the moment he called and said, "Go unto her and Joseph and let them know that I've done this thing. And this thing is of God, and she has the Messiah in her belly." God was working on this whole scene long before the scene ever came to fruition. And it had to be meticulous. He had to find the right people. When he scoured the earth, when he found Mary and Joseph, I'm not quite sure what it was about them that he found, but he found a couple that he could use. He found a couple that would allow themselves to be scoffed at and ridiculed. And then he found a man that would not falsely accuse his future wife and would not accuse her of cheating on him, but a man that was gentle and mindful enough that he would now take this bride-to-be that was with child and hide her to spare her any public humiliation and possibly even stoning. It took an immense amount of creativity in order to get this thing to that point where that baby was ever in the manger. And then he had to find a location where the manger could be set up, where it could be ready. He had to find somebody that was willing to take them out to the stable. And he had to find somebody that was willing to help them along in this journey. And then he had to find a few men that he could deem wise enough to see that star in the sky and to follow that star. Not to sit back and say, "Well, you know, that's so far. I don't really feel like making that journey. We can just go ahead and we'll Federal Express some gifts to this Jesus and we'll send a servant." No, but they were willing to go themselves. He had to find the right men before he could ever put them in Scripture to share that story with us thousands of years later. And then it came to this point where the birth of Jesus came. So now let me fast forward and let me walk backwards. First of all, Jesus came for one purpose and one purpose alone. It was to be a sacrifice. To many, he was the hope of the world, but to him, his destiny was to die in a cruel way. His destiny that was foreordained from the beginning of time was to be lied about and was to be mocked and scoffed at and ridiculed. His destiny was to be abused. His destiny was to be rejected. And his destiny was to get to that cross. And that's why he would not allow Peter to interfere with that destiny at all costs. Because that's the reason I'm here. And though those wise men came to celebrate the birth of this Messiah, I am convinced they did not fully understand that he would go to a cross one day to pay a greater price than just the price of coming down in the body of this little baby and preaching unto the people. But it was so much greater. But before there was the blood, there had to be a cross. And before there was a cross, there had to be a plan. Before there was a plan, there had to be a man. Before there was a man, there had to be a birth. But before there was a birth, there had to be a sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice began long before Jesus ever went to the cross. The entire plan was a sacrifice. The entire process was a sacrifice. It was a sacrifice of his way of life. It was a sacrifice of God's divinity as he came amongst his own creation. And it was a sacrifice of Jesus' life, not just at Golgotha, but from the very moment he was born, his life was sought after. And so between the birth and the blood, there are just a few notable things that happened that I would like to point out to you. First, there were approximately 81 notable miracles. Doesn't sound like a lot, but Jesus' ministry was all of about total 3 years. Now, we know he began long before in his mission, but his actual ministry was about... And if 81 is not a lot to you, you could tell me how many notable miracles you've witnessed. Curious. I mean, if we had 81, I'd be like, woo, we had 81 miracles. If I had one, I'd be like, woo, God did a miracle today. But miracles in Acts, these were from lepers being healed, blind receiving sight, dead raised, and even such a miracle that's not called a miracle as the transfiguration of Jesus. As his body, his human form was literally transformed right before the eyes of the apostles. Luke himself, in Luke contains 24 parables. 18 of those were unique to the book of Luke. Matthew, there were 23 parables. 18 are unique. In Mark, there were 8 parables. 2 of those were unique. What I'm talking about is I'm talking about this mission that Jesus had that took place between the birth and between the blood. These stories that would be told, that would be life lessons. These were things that would be written down in the never disappearing, ordained, solemn Word of God, that for generations upon generations and thousands of years, people like you and I would be standing at the pulpit and we'd be preaching it and we'd be reading of these parables to our children. They would become their bed night sermons, if you please. And there would be times in our lives where these parables we would preach to our very own selves to remind us exactly how, as a child of God, we were supposed to live. During this 3 years of Jesus' ministry, he walked approximately 3,125 miles in those 3 years. In his lifetime, he walked approximately 21,521 miles, which was the equivalent of walking around the world. I thought that was very interesting that he came to save the world and he walked an equivalency of walking around the world. These are things that we don't think about when we ponder the birth of Christ. Besides all of this, Jesus never married. He never took a salary. And he never complained. He never complained, oh, I got to get up and go to church today. My God, I'm just so sick and tired of church, church, church. Everything in life is about church now. He never complained about giving, about tithing. He never complained about none of those things. He was never posting things on social media about why you don't need to tithe and why it's an Old Testament thing. And he was never posting things why you don't need to be in church and why you don't. But he was always about being around the people of God. He was always about his Father's business from the age of 12 years old. He was always seeking, who can I bless today? What can I do for somebody today? It was his mission in life long before the birth ever happened. This was in the Spirit of God, to love his own creation and to be a blessing to his own people. What a plan. What a sacrifice so that I could have the gift of life. See, the original Christmas, it wasn't about gifts, but it was about an ultimate gift. Not a gift in wrapping paper, but a gift of sacrifice. A sacrifice that began long before the cross. A sacrifice that was a blessing to God to be able to put the plan in place that he did in order to save his people from the wrath of a God-forsaken world. You see, when you love, there really is no sacrifice that's too big. When you love, you don't complain. If you do, you might need Jesus. So stupid, got to go Christmas shopping again. I'm so sick and tired of Christmas shopping. I want a gun, but no, I can't get a gun because I got to get them a Nintendo. I know Nintendo's long in the past, Jerome. No, no. I don't know about you, but I've never complained about being able to do for my children. Now I complain when they don't appreciate it. They don't understand the sacrifice involved in it. That gets me a little frustrated. But I've never complained about being able to do. Actually, my wife and I, we go out once a year together. And it's a day that I really look forward to. I tell her that all the time. I look forward. And she's fully embarrassed because I just walk through the stores and the malls just being an absolute idiot. I just do. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Ain't none of y'all seen my video? I had so much fun. I laughed at that video for days. I can keep myself entertained. If you didn't see it, I had me a Starbucks coffee as I'm walking through. Of course, I had my Mac just pulled down to here so I could sip it. And I said, people be like, you can't drink that through the mask. You're going to kill people. You know, I'm just trying to have some fun, you know. I'm just trying to be lighthearted. I'm trying to enjoy the time together. It was all satirical. It was all in good fun. Nobody literally said that to me, or I probably would not have had the Holy Ghost any longer. And she tried to stay three steps ahead of me, and I'm yelling through stores. And it was just fun. I lose her in Old Navy, and I walk in. I walk in the front door of all. I'm like, Laura! I did. And she still didn't hear me. I'm like, Laura! What am I saying? I'm telling you, I have fun going shopping for our children. I have fun around Christmas time. I know some of y'all, you're like, you are too much of a Scrooge to be that fun. Well, I can. I can be fun sometimes. You just got to get me away from some things, that's all. What parent does not enjoy doing for their children? What God does not enjoy planning and strategizing, which is not really difficult for him, but putting into place this ultimate plan that will bring the greatest gift the world has ever seen, the sacrifice of one man willingly offering up his life. What greater love hath this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend? It was a sacrifice that began long before the cross. It began long before the birth. And it was a blessing to our Father. The Bible says, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved that he gave. Giving is the spirit of Christmas. It's not the spirit of receiving. Is the ability to give something to somebody and be a blessing to them and bless their life in some way, shape, or form. It's not about the dollar amount that you spend. It's about the joy of giving, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, just in case you want to give me something, you let me know. I'll come pick it up. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just kidding. And so as a parent gives themselves wholly, God gave himself wholly, not H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y, to the world. A parent, as I begin talking about, they, in essence, give up their life for their children. There are parents that have given up jobs and careers so they could be home with their kids. They've given up ambitions and dreams. Why? Because a gift is sacrifice. A gift requires sacrifice. God knows women give up all of their dignity and pride in childbirth. And long after that, they don't get to complain about what side the toilet paper is hanging on. Because there's always somebody beating on some door any room they go in. It's a sacrifice to be a parent. It's a sacrifice to be a mother. And it's a sacrifice to be a father. You might would rather be home with your children, but you need to go to work. Why? Because I've got to provide for my family. I've got to make sure they have a roof over their head. I've got to make sure the heat stays on. It's powerful. The sacrifice that goes into Christmas. All of this done with such a deep love that God worked from the beginning to the ending all at one time. You see, the birth to the blood, so much happened, so much transpired, that the real gift wasn't about the birth. The real gift was about the entire plan. The real gift was the sacrifice that was paid. It was a masterpiece of salvation that was presented to the world. A masterpiece. God knew is more than just about giving, but the recipient has to be appreciative of that gift. The recipient has to cherish that gift of life. The recipient has to cherish that gift of mercy. The recipient has to cherish that gift of love, because such a great price, such a great sacrifice was paid to get that gift into the world and put it in the hands of mankind. And when we, as the children of God, reach that place in our life, we don't just wake up in the morning and begin our day. But we wake up that day and we begin that day by giving thanks to the one that gave that gift. Thanks to the one that gave me another day, another opportunity, another chance to be a better child of God, another chance to be a better Christian, another chance to right my wrong, another chance to take some of my sins and put them under the blood. Why? Because I understand that this gift was built upon the back of sacrifice. No greater love than a man would lay down his life for a friend. You know what I'm saying to you today? I'm telling you, it's not just about this moment in time, but it's what this moment means, and it's what it took to get to this moment. The miles driven or walked, all of the extra work that went into what will Friday morning will be that day of anticipation. But you know, I think the best thing about growing up, and I say that not just getting older, because, you know, some people just never really have reached that place they cross. But the best thing is when you get to sit back and you enjoy watching your sacrifice be cherished. You enjoy watching the price that you paid and watching the smiles on faces and the wows and the awes. And it's such a blessing to give. So Christmas isn't about a baby in a manger at all. It's about what took place before the manger. It's about what took place between the manger and the cross. And it's certainly about what took place after the cross. And it's about what still takes place today. What a great privilege it is when you watch people come to an altar and you watch tears run down their face as God continues the gift of giving, as He breathes life into somebody and He breathes hope into somebody. And then, as time goes on and life has a way of beating us down, when we finally get wise enough to realize, I can go back to that same watering hole. Jacob's well never ran dry. There's always water there. If it's nowhere else. And so I go back to that same watering hole or that same altar. And I say, Lord, here I am again. And that gift just, it never stops. giving. And then to know that that wasn't even the ultimate gift. To know that there was a baby born in a manger and there was a Christ that went to a cross. But all of that because he said, you stay right here. I'm going to get the ultimate gift ready. And when I come back, I'm going to bring you into that gift. The finality, the grand finale. It's bigger than any fireworks show. It's bigger than any new car or new house. It's a gift that never, ever, ever will rot or decay. You'll never have to repaint it. You'll never have to fix a broken furnace again. You'll never have to worry about a broken body again. You never have to worry about another headache, and thank God we never have to worry about another virus. But guess what? We know it's a metaphor. But Jesus said, I'm going to go so I can go sacrifice and get that gift ready for you. That's what Christmas is. That's the original Christmas. It's the gift of sacrifice so you and I can have a gift to open up. Would you stand with me? All I would like to encourage you to do, if you would, is to lift your hands in a moment or whenever you want and just begin to thank God, not just for the gift that took place on that first Christmas morning in a manger, but for the gift that was given long before that, the gift that's still coming long after that, the gift of life, the gift of God's love that is never earned, the gift of His patience, the gift of His mercy, the gift of His concern, the gift of God's joy, the gift of His peace that passes all understanding, the gift of a touch from God upon our bodies in our weariness of life when God reaches down and He says, I've got something to give you. That today, would you just thank Him for that right now? Lord Jesus, thank You, O God, for this great gift of life. Thank You, O God, for this great gift of Christmas and the meaning behind it. The meaning behind it, O God. I thank You for the sacrifice that was paid that I can enjoy one day a year. God, that we call Christmas, I thank You for the sacrifice of putting Christ in that manger on that morning. And I thank You, God, for the sacrifice at Calvary, Lord, that gave me the gift of life, the promise of eternity. If I just love You, if I just walk with You, I'll tell you another quick little closing story. I don't want to sound disparaging to my own children, but years ago, I'm probably going back 5-6 years, they were a lot younger. And one Christmas morning, one of my kids, there was just some dissatisfaction with the gift they didn't get. And boy, did that light up burn my bridges. And I thought, and that's it. Christmas will never be the same again. I am not going to raise this bold little brats. And I determined that day, if I'm going to give you a gift, you're going to appreciate that gift. Even if it might not be everything you thought it would be, you're going to appreciate the sacrifice that was paid, the monetary value as well as the emotional value cost of it. I want you to appreciate if I'm going to give it to you. I want you to cherish it. It could be something silly, something small. I've got a whole stack of cards downstairs from the years of cards that you folks have given me. Things you've written. Things I can never give away. I can never throw in the trash because they were a gift to me. They're a treasure. Pictures going back to our very beginning. Why? Because it wasn't the cost. Wasn't the value. It could just have been a few words. But that gift meant so much to me that I never want to do away with it. I actually have wondered what will happen to those things when I leave this life. I don't want them just to be thrown in the trash because they meant something to me. God wants this gift to mean something to us. The gift of life, the promise of eternity. That's why the Bible says He goes to prepare a place for those that love Him. I want to fall in love with Him and fall out of the love of this world. I want Him to be everything to me. Something nothing will ever replace because of the sacrifice that He made to give this gift to me. Won't you give Him thanks right now? Give Him thanks again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sing, You are, and You are holy, oh, so holy. You are holy, Lord of all. Our God. sing, how great, how great is our God. Oh, how great,
how great,
oh, yes, He
is our God.
Oh, how great,
how great,
how great is our God. Oh, He's a name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. Let my heart will sing, how great is our God. The name, He's the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. Let my heart will sing, how great is our God. Oh, we sing how great, oh, how great is our God. Oh, yes,
how great,
oh, is our God. And how great, oh, how great, yes, how great is our God. We sing how great is our God. Yes,
how great,
oh, how great, Lord, is our God.
Years ago, when Colin was in first or second grade, I don't remember what it was, he brought home around Christmas time this little square block made out of a 2x4. It is painted like a Pittsburgh Steelers figure with a Steelers Hannah sat on it. Hannah sat. Santa hat. And we still have it. We still set it out. And I love that little goofy gift. You know what you do with a gift that you cherish? You take care of it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If you cherish the gift that God has given you, one, it's not a drudgery to me to get up and go to the house of God. It's not a drudgery to me. I know sometimes life may make those things difficult. That's a different story. But it's not something that I complain about to protect that which the Lord has given me. I cherish it with everything that I have. If you cherish the gift that God has given you, then embrace it, thank God for it, and love it every day that you live. But more importantly than that, there are ex-prostitutes in this building today. There are people that lived off of lying, people that lived off of stealing, people who were in ditches, strung out with needles in their arms. There are stories upon stories. You know what that means? Don't get upset at me when I go up there and I thank God as crazy and as extravagant as I can, because I'm so thankful for what He did in my life and for where He brought me from and what He has done with me and through me during that time. And I'm going to protect this with everything that I've got. I'm going to cherish it. So one more time, I'm going to ask you to cherish what God has given you this morning. Do it unto Him. And say, sing this song one more, whatever else they're going to sing, and give Him thanks. And if you have never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can come to this altar and say, God, I want that promise this morning. That's for me and for my children and as many as are afar off, that the Lord our God shall call. It's His gift. It's His promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, the name. He's a name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. Oh, the name is a name above all names.
Sing without any music, Brother Tyler.
You are worthy of all praise. Then my heart will sing how great is our God. He's a name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our
some of y'all are holding back. Don't hold back because of somebody else. Give God praise for what He's done in your life. Nobody knows like you know. It's your alabaster box. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How great is our God. Oh, how great. How great. How great. Is our God. Yes, we sing how great is our God. Oh, how great is our God. How great, oh, how great.
How great.
Yes, Lord, how great. Lord, we sing, oh, how great, yes, is our God, oh, how great, is our God, how great, oh, how great is our God, oh, we sing. How great is our God? How great is our God? Oh, how great! How great is our God? Yes, Lord, how great, yes, how great, oh, is our God, how great is our God, oh, how great, is our God. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great? How great is our God? Oh, you are holy. And you are holy, oh, so holy. You are holy, Lord above. Oh, you are Lord.
You know, two generations ago, two generations ago, my mom would find herself in bar scenes. She found herself near death many times because of the man that she was with. Many times almost risking death because of situations that she was around. But guess what? Two generations later, the Restorer shows what He's able to do. Two generations later, God says, I'll show you what I'll do with your seed if you just love me and put me first. Do you know why some of you fight? Because the devil knows what God's going to do with your future because you've given your life to Him. Go ahead and praise Him now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Just our voices.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. We just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. You are dismissed in Jesus' name if you want to continue to pray.